Fox Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Sat, I did not expect to come into work for Friday, April the 11th, with the Canucks already out of playoff contention and have D. Petey, Elias Pettersson, be the biggest storyline because he got into a fight with Logan O'Connor and beat the snot out of him.
Yeah, such is life. But it's also exciting.
Yeah.
To see D. Petey just beat the snot out of somebody and get into his first fight ever.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Well, it's because not really a thing, right?
Well, yeah, no.
When you come over from Europe.
But he said,
he's been playing North American hockey for a year now.
For sure, but he said he's never even been in a fight off the ice.
Like, I don't believe that.
Really?
Is he taking, like, fighting lessons off the ice? He's doing karate or jiu-jitsu or something?
So, apparently, there were teammates of his in Abbotsford that have helped him, have shown him what to do if you get into a fight. How to grab on, how to protect yourself, and how to throw a punch. And he still needs work. Like, yep. It was a really good effort. You also see that he's raw.
Yeah.
But he's not Matt Rempe raw.
He is very strong, though, for a player of his age. The size profile is good. I mean, it's been an unbelievable rise. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on when we get to the open here on Canucks Central. That's coming up at 4:30, though, as Yannick Hansen will join us here in a few moments to open up the program. Canucks beating the Colorado Avalanche. And for those that are snickering and saying, oh, typical Canucks, once they're eliminated, that's when they pull out their best hockey. Well, there was no Nathan MacKinnon last night. Colorado clearly is looking ahead to the playoffs. Tomorrow is a scheduled win night against Minnesota. They're on the second half of a back-to-back. And Monday, San Jose is also on the second half of a back-to-back.
Scheduled win night, huh?
Although Minnesota may have a lot to play for, depending on what happens against Calgary tonight.
Yeah.
Let's bring in...
So do we want Calgary to make the playoffs over Minnesota?
I mean, I would say so. More Canadian teams would be a benefit. For where I stand. Let's bring in our next guest. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Yannick Hansen joins us as he does every Friday, though I'm sure Yannick feels the Calgary rivalry more than most. Would you prefer to see Minnesota or Calgary make that final spot in the playoffs?
At that point, I'll look at the rosters, and to be honest, if Kaprizov is playing, I'd rather see him in the playoff. Just you'd like to see the best players when it matters the most. And yeah, of course, TV and for Canada and for Canadian hockey, it would be better to have Calgary in there. It probably would make for better scheduling too. But just from again, I played with Kaprizov as well. He's a very entertaining player to watch. So I like to watch those players when it matters most.
Did you think Kaprizov was going to be this good in the NHL when you played with him back in the K?
You know what? They asked me there if he could play there, and absolutely he could play there. Did I think he would come in and put up 80, 90, 100 points? No. But he was special. He was our best. So you knew he had something. A lot of Russians are very, very good hockey players, very good in Europe, very good internationally. Very few of them can translate into success in the NHL level. But he obviously, he had that, and he had it. Like I said, I had no question whether or not he could be an NHL player. But to come in and become one of the best players in the league when he's healthy, that blew me away as well.
Okay, focusing on the Canucks, and last night they beat Colorado. But, you know, you're kind of in that moment where you're looking at some of these young players and seeing what they have. And a player that's really surprised a lot of us with, he's only played North American hockey for a year now, is Elias Pettersson, defenseman Elias Pettersson. And he has the fight last night, shows well in that, his first fight ever, according to him. He's shown a little bit of offensive flash. Are you liking a lot of what you're seeing from D. Petey? We're going to reconnect with Yannick.
We got to reconnect with Yannick. We try to make it work.
Sounded like it was just like a brief cutout, like maybe at a call waiting. You know, sometimes when there's like a brief pause and then it comes back, it just means somebody's trying to call on the other line.
Yeah, the whole call waiting thing, it's pretty intrusive, isn't it? Like it drowns out the voice a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little rude.
It is very rude. Call waiting. Isn't there a better use of technology these days? Anyways, we'll get reconnected here with Yannick Hansen, and it's kind of fun to think about what DPD could be and how he's continued to develop. It's been a pretty meteoric rise. Like I thought he was going to spend the whole year with Abbotsford. Let's bring back in Yannick Hansen. Thanks for this, Yannick. So your thoughts on DPD Junior, as they call him around the Canucks?
It's great. Like, it's one of those things where, of course, you draft him, you have expectations, but he's kind of exceeded them earlier. One of the reasons why you could give up on Susie, because you had him coming in, you want to give him ice time, and he's taken that, and he's claimed the spot now, which is really well, because you need that. You need your players that you drafted to come in and make a difference. And he's one of those ones where he can come in and it's a win for you, frees up some salary, and you don't have to go looking for depth defensemen anymore. You don't have to trade your second rounders in order to get a fourth, preferably a third defenseman if these guys can develop.
Well, and he said it was his first fight ever. Like, even off the ice, he's never had a fight before, and he's still laughing in the penalty box afterwards. Like, what does that kind of tell you about his mentality and his willingness to do this and perhaps do it again in the future?
Yeah, guys, that's when you get tested. Playing hockey is fun and everything, but when you drop your gloves, somebody could get hurt. And it takes a special type of player to do it. And again, when you're young, you feel invincible. And it's great for him to go in and test himself, because the way he plays, he will get challenged. He's in your face. He's physical. He's shoving. If he can back that up, he'll set himself up to be a commodity every team will want for the next 15 years.
Yeah, it's he's got a really impressive size and speed profile, and you know, it's just something you love to have on the back end. And it's the one thing you're looking at this season, and Patrick Alvin reiterated it earlier this week, like, okay, we feel pretty good about what we have in goal now with Demko and Lankinen. We feel pretty good about what we have on the back end. It's the forward group that we've got to focus on this summer. But, you know, for the first time in a long time, the Canucks seem to have a pretty stable decor, and that's at least you go into the offseason knowing that.
Yeah, and you have with Tom Vilander in the pipes as well, which should make even more of an impression, hopefully, and come in and make a difference as well once he arrives. But again, like, the question marks going into this season and going into next year are substantially bigger. Yeah, we figured out our third defenseman, fourth defenseman in Pettersson, and Pettersson now, but still, like, now is our number one center ready? Who's our number two center? Who's going to be our wingers? Everybody saw the article on Besser. Like, that's where hindsight comes in now, and like, you wish they would have traded him second, first rounder, anything really, because now he's gone for nothing, and he is a 25 goal scorer, and it's one of those things where too many times Vancouver have found a way to give up assets or not recovering assets on their players going out the door. And this one will sting as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest question is how are you going to improve as a team? And, you know, the whole question around trying to convince Quinn Hughes you're going to be a winner as well. But you see these young guys. We talk about DPD. You talk about Vilander. You see Lekkerimäki. And obviously, if you're trying to improve, you're going to have to pay something that's not going to be, you know, be easy to pay. Is that what they're going to have to do, you think? Sacrifice one of those young guys, perhaps, to get what they need up front?
There's nothing in the... in the farmhouse on the stockpile that you can get a number one center. Vancouver don't have those assets. You have to put all your money on Petey and hope that he will turn into a number one center. You have to go out and spend on two or three wingers, two top six wingers that can make a difference, and then hope that you can get lucky and find a second line center, because it's like the asset it takes to get what you want is just isn't there. Like, you need a top 10 draft pick, or you need a bona fide prospect that's going to come in and make a difference right away on some other teams that are giving up on an older player because of where they are in the cycle of their NHL life, if you will. And Vancouver, yeah, Lekkerimäki and those guys that are coming in are good players. The defenseman Elias Pettersson too, but they're not going to get you a number two center right now. They're not good enough. They haven't shown enough that anybody's going to give that up. So you have to get a little bit lucky in free agency that the players that are available want to come to Vancouver as well. Then you can get away from, okay, we lost Besser, but we picked up X, Y instead. The center that's going to play in front of Petey or behind Petey, that's going to be the big question mark. And can we find him in free agency? No, I don't think so. I saw the players that were available the other day, and it's a Sam Bennett or a they're not bona fide top flight, make everybody around them better. Mm-hmm. They're players you add in, found those players to put you over the top.
Yeah, Sam Bennett is probably the number one center available on the open market. John Tavares is, you know, he could still score quite a bit, but he's a different kind of player at his age right now.
Then you try to bring a guy like that in on a 1 or 2 year deal, but there's zero chance he's going to take that.
Yeah,
somebody to hold you over until you can find what you want, and it's just like those. Those key positions, your number one goalie, your number one defenseman, number one and two centers. Those are the spots you have to have if you want to win. Everything around that, we can fill in. You can find that at the deadline. Elias Lindholm, whoever it is you want to trade for. Brock Besser, if you're looking over to go over the top, a 25-goal scorer in the right situation. These players are available every single year. The players that aren't available in the summer anywhere else, unless you're selling 3, 4, 5 prime assets, they're not available. You have to draft and develop them, or you have to get lucky. And by lucky, I mean Tampa dumping JT Miller on us because of a salary cap constraint.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky, the UFA, who is a legitimate player, is going to test it out, and he wants to come to Vancouver. Yeah, you're going to overpay for him now, but that's still lucky in a sense that now you fill a spot from without giving up anything. So you have to get lucky now. We're coming into this year. We didn't have to get lucky. Yeah, we needed Demko back to health, but and PD finding his form again. But we had every single piece down that you needed in order to win. We needed a number three or a number four defenseman, but he could be found. And had you not traded for Pettersson, I'm sure you could have picked up a player like that in UFA. You're competing for other guys. Price goes up a little bit, but you're not giving up a first-round draft pick now.
Yeah, and that's kind of where the Canucks have been. It's like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul all the time, right? Oh, we need another defenseman, so we got to take from our forward group to add to our D group, and you know it's just an endless cycle with the way that this team has been built. And you know, the The other center problem is like, okay, sometimes there's a center who falls out of favor with a team. Like last year it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's had a really good season in Washington. But the Canucks are the team that has the center that has fallen out of favor, and they need him to get back to his level. It was interesting to hear Patrick Alvin tell Ian McIntyre that, you know, they're going to really have to hone in on his summer program when they get to their exit meetings. When you hear a general manager say that, what does it make you think?
Makes me shake a little bit, because it's commitment. Commitment to my teammates, to my organization. Like, was he not in shape? Was he not prepared? Did he have a great time but neglect his body, the workout, so to speak, in the off season? Did he not come in shape? Like, those aren't questions you want. Those should be given that, hey, we got 20 guys here. Everybody, we got a culture. We're going to show up in shape. Are we going to get hurt? Am I not performing because of whatever reason after that? That's a little bit different. But if the performance was lacking because of the off season he had, that terrifies me. If they know that, I would almost push to move him. I know that you're selling at the lowest low, but if you have a guy that doesn't take care of himself, it also says to me in the dressing room, hey, this guy doesn't care about me. Yeah, he's got his money now, but now he doesn't want to work out. He's hanging out in the golf course, drinking with his buddies all summer, and then he's showing up and producing like a middle six forward. That's not a good situation. I'm spitballing here. There's a lot of bad things. I'm not saying that's what happened, but if that is the case, that's one of the worst things you can have happen.
Well, and as far as that's concerned, I mean, because the conversations we've had with you about Pettersson for years has been about how great a player he is. How much has your opinion of him changed from where it was a year ago to where it is now?
That's what Joe dreaded about them missing the playoff. I wanted a legitimate another playoff goal here with the Canucks, and I wanted to see if he was a player you could win with. Let's say you lose in six games or in five games to Vegas or Edmonton, but he is a difference maker when he's out there. We lost because there wasn't enough depth around him. We lost because we didn't have a number two center. Then you know what? We can build around Petey for the next 6 years. Or on the other side, he was terrible in the playoff, 2 assists in 5 games, and we get blown out. You know what? We can't win with this guy. We're going to trade him. Right now, you have to make a decision before his no move comes in. And we don't really know which way this thing is going to tilt. Where if 2 playoffs under his belt, and he was either bad in both, or he was bad in the first, but in the second, he was lighting it up, and he was a guy we could see that we could win with, then you go with him. Now you have to make a decision with a lot of unknowns, and that's a tough situation because it does come down to him and Quinn. Those are the two catalysts on this team. Yeah, there is 18 other players, but we will only go as far as those two will take him. They're going to command the most money, the most ice time. The puck is going to be on their stick when the game is going to be decided. Can we win with them? We know we can win with Quinn the way he's been playing. But Petey is the other side to this coin right now. So I would love to have a clearer picture. And like when you post this question, I don't know. Yeah. And that scares me. I would like to know one way or the other, because it's the next 5-6 years going to be dictated whether or not we stick with him or you move on from him.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine the other part of this, and obviously not in the room, but you know, Petey signs the $92.8 million contract, and now the whole year it's been talked about how, you know, they need to get him right this summer. He's got to have a big summer and come in better prepared to tackle next season. Like, if you're a big shiny new contract player, hey, he's not the captain of the team, but you're still a leader on the team, and if he doesn't come in ready to go come training camp, I can't imagine that goes over well with your teammates.
Culture starts from the top. If there's buy-in there, everybody will fall in line. If the top is slacking, they're like, oh, maybe I can do it a little bit too, and there's really no repercussions. So it's just a slippery slope. You need your best players to buy in, and then everybody will fall in line.
What about the head coach? Do you think they have to bring him back for next season?
I would bring him back, no question. He's done enough. We've seen what he can do this year. It was a terrible season in terms of things that are outside of his control. Could he have gotten these two players on the same footing? I would assume so. There are so many adults in that organization and in that room that I would assume that if he could have done it, he would have done it too. So that's out of his hand. It's out of his hand that his number one and number two centers produced half the points they did the year before. It's out of his hand that Demko plays 15 games. It's out of his hand that his number two defenseman misses 30 games. Like, those are things any team, they can't survive. You can't play without your best players. And he did this year, and they were almost there. If it wasn't for St. Louis going on a bender where they went 12 straight, they could have probably still snuck in. So they were there. He's changed the culture. We saw the buy-in last year and at certain points this year as well. So I'd give him another kick at it. I will say that normally you talk about, okay, things don't go well, you make changes. It's always easy to make changes on the coach. This year, they made changes on the team. And that takes a while before organizations actually start moving out players, significant players. So they did that. So I'd give him another kick at it with a new crop of players, if you will, next year, and then see what happens from there.
Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
There he is. Yannick Hansen joining us here, as he does every Friday. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group.
He doesn't hold back ever, does he?
No.
No. Very honest.
And that's why we love having Yannick every week here on the show.
Coming to us live from a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. <That's possible. laughs> it was an interesting connection there.
I'm not sure if people heard the modulation.
Yeah, but that one blew my eardrums out a little bit. Not sure what was going on there, but
we got through it.
In any case, Yannick still bringing the heat when it comes to the biggest subject in Vancouver all season long, and that is Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, and the fact that we're sitting here and talking about him having to work harder is not the conversation you want to be having.
No.
You know, and that's kind of where we are at, and it's very clear it goes back to this past training camp. And again, context, you know, Pettersson mentioned his knee was the reason why he couldn't train the way he wanted to train.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be the same thing this offseason?
You would hope not. Whatever is ailing him, the upper body injury that has kept him out of the lineup now for a couple of weeks, though it was said day-to-day earlier. Does he get into one of these final three home games? Seems unlikely at this point, but we'll find out when we hear from the head coach and get to see the Canucks back at it tomorrow against the Minnesota Wilds. All right, coming up, we're going to get to the Open. And it's going to focus more on a little bit of the offseason and maybe preparing for what may come as the Canucks go on a quest to add to their forward group. That's coming up next. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. You are listening to Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.